Okay, so let's review a little bit. So the question was, Nida goes in the mikvah, right? Be honest. So let's say she falls in, something like that, okay? She's not intentionally going to Tovel, to Mitar, but she just falls in, so it doesn't work or not. So, turns out there's two nafkaminas of Toma of Nida, Toma's Nida. One is vis-a-vis Toma and Taira, vis-a-vis Kajim. She eats Kajim when she's Tame, she's Chayv Misa V'deshmayim. And it removes that Toma. And secondly, it's vis-a-vis her husband, that if she sleeps with her husband when she's a Nida, she's Chayv Kares. Right? So there's no assumption that those are identical. Okay, so the question is, does it remove her Tumas Nida in both those frameworks? So Rav Yehuda Marav says depends. Vis-a-vis her house, her husband, she's Tahora. Vis-a-vis Tumah, she's not. She's Tame. Okay? Whereas Rav Yochanan says, no, they're identical. Both. They're both Tame vis-a-vis both. Okay? So Gemara asks, how according to Rav, you're telling me she's Torah to her husband, but not Batame to Kodshim? So isn't Kodshim last Chamor? Because it's Misa Deshmaim, and the Kares is Rabia, is Kares, and that's more Chamor. So it says, no, it's not because of Chamor Akal, but it's because of the institution of Kodshim, or the institution of Chulin. Yeah, Kodshim needs Kavana, and Chulin doesn't. Okay? Okay. So we wanted to explain that position, right? So we said that the question is like, what type of an action creates Tyra? It's Tyra in the mikvah. Is it simply like a mechanical action of going in the mikvah? Right? Or do you say that it's like the human action of going in the mikvah? Not just a physical form that her body went in the mikvah, but there's a human activity, which involves kavana, a human involvement in Tyra, going in the mikvah for the sake of Tyra. You're toveling yourself. She falls in, she's not doing the action of toveling. Her body, yes, the form of the action is there, but not the human action, the character of the action of being tovel. It's not there without kavana. So he said is that when it comes to chulin, this is Rav's position, when it comes to chulin, it's the Torah in general. The Torah sets up formulaic, mechanical systems. Chulin just means like Isser and Hatar. So the world, the system of Isser, what creates Isser is she bleeds. What creates Hatar is she goes in the mikvah. And in general, the way Kodja, the way normal Isser and Hatar is set up is the Torah formalizes it, causes and effects things which create chal hashemos, remove chal hashemos, and so on. And what does us have anything to do with it? It doesn't do with us. You follow the rigorous, the format, the form, and then it's Tyra. So it's different. And it's not only by Tum and Tyra, it's not only by Nida, it's also, you'll see, Gemara ties it to Shechita. So the animal shechted, then it's kosher. What's the difference? But he argues like this, is that's the way the world of Isser and Hatter, Chulin works. But Kodshim is a different world. Kodshim is a world which is in which, like, the das of the gavra is significant. See, Kodshim is the person going with Lefnei Hashem, approaching, finding Ritzoy before God, approaching Kadosh Baruch Hu through Mikdash, Lefnei Hashem. That world, the Maisim of that world, and what creates the Chal Hashemos vis-a-vis that world, is the Machshavas Adam, the Maisei Adam. And as a person being roi to go with Ne'ashem, with Tyra, is not because their body fell in the mikvah. It's because they were Metayr. So the appropriate tsura, the appropriate form of Maisim, which the Torah will select in the framework of Kajim, which is the framework of Ne'ashem, is the form of the Maisei Adam. Maisim in the framework of the human activity, which involves Kavana. So that's Rav's position. And we said, is it's like, it may sound a bit philosophical, but it's saying, halachically, he's just saying, is by Chulin, the Torah goes by the Torah Samaisa, just the form, and by Kodshim, it's the Maisei Adam. That's a fine formulation. It begs the question, is this arbitrary? What's the sense? Could it have been reversed? The saying is, like, the philosophy is the cause of why it's not just the arbitrary, the Torah couldn't have reversed it. There's a sense that they're doing that. But it's that's not like the halachic formulation. The halachic formulation is just that. That is, by Kachin, Rav holds the Torah demands Maaseh Adam. And by Chulin, it demands like a formal mechanical actions. But it's saying this, the sense behind it is that the system, the framework of Chulin is just purely like the legalities of the rigors of the halachic system. But the framework of Kodshim is the framework of the Fnei Hashem, of Ritzoy, of the person approaching God. And in that framework, the appropriate Maisim is the Maisei Adam, which involved Das and Mashab. Fine. So now we're up to today is we didn't really go back to the other side. Right? What does Rabbi Yochanan hold? The Rabbi Yochanan holds that really both the Chulin and by Kodshim. It's the other way, right? It demands the Maaseh Adam. Right? Demands the Maaseh Adam. There's no chiluk like that. So I mean, we could just say, look, that's just what he holds. Right? But could we give some more, something more to it? Is there anything we could say about that? What's that machlokas, you know? The machlokas by Chulin, whether Chulin the Torah suffices with the ordinary, mechanical actions in general? Or do you say that even by Chulin, Torah demands like the Maaseh Adam, human activity, which involves Kavana, in order to effectuate the Chalal Shemos in the framework of Chulin, like to need to become a Tavar husband? What is interesting is that the Gemara is not treating this as a case-by-case question, but the question is, does Chulin versus Kachan, do they need to come on or do not need to come on? I know that it's going to ask, but it's not saying there can't be any exceptions. It doesn't have to be across the board without exceptions, but at the same time, the Gemara is treating this as a question which does lend itself to generalization. It's not totally a case-by-case question. But there is a general, you know, like paradigm of how the Torah works by Kachem, how the Torah works by Chulin. You know, yes, there are exceptions, but there is a general, way. There seems to be general rules. Okay, so Matt's suggesting, Svara, that you have, these are by institutions where there's like parallel by Chachim and Chulin. Like Tefillah is in fact vis v'Kachim and vis v'Chulin. And Shechita is in fact vis v'Kachim and vis v'Chulin. Right? And Tisnayim is also, so whatever. So, saying is, when you have institutions like that, the framework of Kachim really is the framework which should go by Das, Kavana, because of the way it's developed. The framework of Chulin is a framework which really is nothing that shouldn't really have anything to do with that. Just to be formalized Maisim. Like, and that's where our position is. But where Rabbi Yochanan says, no, a little plug, so to speak. Torah didn't, when you have these two things, Torah basically picked one formulation for both. Didn't set up two models of what Shechita is, two models of what Tefillah is. But it basically just set it up in the same way. It's true, it has different nafkamin, it has different effects. But it didn't set up like a dual system, but it went with one uniform system. And since by Kodshim, I mean, you could ask, well, that's the case, and there should be always not need Kavana. But you could just say, like, I had to choose. Or you could say that Kachim is primary, and then it borrows from Kachim, and it picks. Right? I mean, that's just a matter of you have to decide which one wins out. You could just say, look, it's not a big deal to demand Kavana by Chulin, but by Kachim, you can't not have Kavana, or something like that. But basically, the Machlokas is, does the Torah want to go for a uniformity, or does the Torah want to set up two separate forms, you know, each one in its own framework? Right. Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of a chiddush, because why should you say the Torah, why can't, if you're saying it's intrinsically really each one should be different, then it's like, it's almost like it doesn't, shouldn't really be that way. It's just kind of, you know, an outcome. Oh yeah, I hear you. I'm thinking like this is and maybe, I don't know, it's not great, but see, what are we talking about? We're talking about where you're trying to create a status change. A change in Chal Hashem from Tumat to Taira, from Asur to Mutter. Basically, let's say Asur to Mutter. Okay, Tomei Tahar is really a Kachim phenomenon, right? In the strict sense of the word Tomei Tahar. But we're talking about like Asur to Mutter. Okay, I mean, in strict sense, because like you call nowadays a woman could say to her husband, I'm tahar. We use it in like a borrowed sense to refer to the iser bia. But it really is an iser heter phenomenon. You're changing her status from being aser to being mutter, changing the meat from being aser to being mutter. Okay, so the question is, I'm just kind of, you know, summarizing the question is when you're doing an action which creates changes the status of an object from being aser to mutter, do you need kavana for that or do you not? Right? That's just the case. Okay. Now, here's the thing: is like, let's take another example, not halacha. Let's say you want to change the status of an object. Let's say you have a chemical and you want to neutralize the chemical, something like that, some sort of chemical reaction. You want to fumigate a house, or you want to neutralize the efficacy of some sort of a chemical, or some sort of a the antidote for a poison, something like that, right? So you want a similar thing. You want to basically change the status of something from being poisonous to being not poisonous, from being contagious to being not contagious. From being, right? That'd be like a parallel type of a case, and change its status, its ability, the way you relate to it. So do now you want to do an action which changes its status, changes its right the way we relate to it. So in general, do you need kavanah for that? No, obviously not, right? Because you're dealing with a physical property of the object, and you're trying to change its property. So it's the mechanics which changes the property of it, and it has nothing to do with Das Adam, right? It's just a matter of a physical change, right? So the thing is, when you're dealing with halacha like this, asur and mutter, asur, isur, and heter isn't a physical property in the object. Right, it's not a physical. It may be rooted. It's rooted in physical characteristics and a physical maisa of bleeding. Let's say causes this, or and the physical maisa of tyra removes it. I mean, the Torah sets up, a certain. It exists through certain physical properties, and but at the same time, it could be that Rav Yochanan argues is that the world of halachic statuses. Is an abstract conceptual world. You're trying to change the status from the Shema Isser to the Shema Heter. And therefore, he argues that the way that you do that is by you have to enter the world of abstract statuses through the Ma'aseh Adam. In other words, you have to be involved. You have to be involved in that world. That he holds that the way the Torah formulates, since you're trying to create a change in the chalos, the way you do that is through a Ma'aseh Adam. Whereas the chalos is something which is meaningful to an Adam and to the Das. So he holds is that the way that when it, the way the Torah formulates that these statuses are effectuated is not just through purely mechanical means, but is through the Ma'aseh Adam, through the fact the person is involved in doing shechita. In selecting the particular, even though shechita, yes, it does have a physical form and a very rigorous physical form, but at the same time, you're not just trying to create a physical property in the object, you're trying to use the physical form to engender a halachic chalos. Right? You're trying to, tefillah has physical properties, there's all kinds of sugyos about a mikvah, but you're using that physical maisa to create taira. So what he holds is that since you're dealing with a world of effectuating chaloshemos, and chaloshemos are an abstract phenomenon, so therefore the way that they are effectuated is by Ma'aseh Adam, like through kavana. And otherwise, if you don't do have kavana, it's like you don't make contact with that abstract world of halachic phenomenon. You could neutralize a chemical because a chemical is purely a physical property and a physical action effectuates changes in the physical world and the physical properties. But since you're dealing with abstract properties of a thing, so you need an action which enters that world, and that's a Ma'aseh Adam, the Ma'aseh of Das. So yes, it does have a mechanical form to it. It's not just, you can't just think it tahar or think it kosher, so it has a form to it, but part of the form of the Metamachshir is the Das Adam. That he's He's involving himself in the process of creating Hechsher, creating Taira. And he has to be involved in that process. You need, since this world is the world of the abstract, so therefore the Chaloshem is the abstract, so therefore the formulation of Maisim, even in the framework of Chulin, are defined in the abstract, defined by, it includes the Das Adam. Okay? It doesn't necessarily mean he has to be a big philosopher, that's the philosophy of the thing. But halachically, just saying is you have two ways, the Torah could have had a crossroad. Is it going to formulate machshirs purely mechanically, or is it going to formulate in terms of a machshavas adam, a maise adam? And it's saying is, since we're dealing with the world of the abstraction, and the world of chaloshemus, which are only meaningful vis-a-vis the das adam, so therefore the form of the type of maise which the Torah demands is a maise which involves machshavas adam. Right? As opposed to, see, this is, I think, what was the difference that you're saying, is that, see, by Kodshim, it's more than that. By Kodshim, you're actually trying to create a status of Lefnei Hashem. You're trying to create a Gavru who's Mokshar Lavo Lefnei Hashem. But that type of thing. That's where, intrinsically, it demands Machshavas Adam. Because the whole state which is being created is a state of, a philosophical state, almost. A state where you're making him Roy Lefnei Hashem. So that definitely needs Machshavas Adam. Here, you're just making a motorit. You really are just creating like a chulin type of a thing. It's nothing to do with it. It's just to do with mundane. Just he's eating food. He's having beer with his wife. Why? Well, it has nothing to do with some abstract machshavas adam or whatever. But it's that world of chulin, which is really the world of the mundane. But at the same time, you're trying to, in that world, to deal with a halachic chal Hashem, which is an abstract chal Hashem. So the question is, in that framework of chulin, of abstract chaloshemos in the world of chol, does the Torah, so to speak, choose the whole definition of an action, which is just purely the mechanics of it? Or do you say is that since it's, well, that which is being effectuated in this whole world is abstract chalos, so that the tzuras ha-maisa which the Torah goes with is the maisa in the world of, in the framework of machshavas adam, the maisa adam. The Kodshim, where the very content of what you're involved in is that is the world of the Gavras approaching God, is the world of Lefnei Hashem. So then definitely it's the proper form of Maisa is that which involves the Machshava, the Das Adam. What determines the type of Maisa which is chosen? Is it the framework in which you're existing, which is Chulin, which is the mundane, and therefore Das Adam is not really Shayach or relevant? Or is it that which is the being effectuated within that framework, which is the change in the abstract change in the Chol Hashem from the Shem Heter to Shem Isser, which is Isser Heter, which is an abstract change. Therefore, the type of Maisa is the Maisa, which is the Maisa Adam, which involves the abstract. Yeah. Now, I don't think, we'll see this later, but I don't think there's a reason to say intrinsically you have to decide once and for all how the Torah is going to go by Chulin. But it seems like there's a question about what's the default. How does it work by Chulin? Okay, because we'll see, even Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that Chulin really generally goes by the abstract, by the Maisei Adam, is going to say that when it comes to Chulin and to Shlita, it doesn't. So the Torah down minimizes it and says you don't need that. So it's not, there's nothing to say that it has to be one way across the board. But at the same time, there's a concept of a default. Okay, so I want to skip a little bit. I mean, the Gemara goes into, you know, how do we know that it needs Kavana, if it needs Kavana, this, that. So I'm going to skip that. And I'm going to just jump to where it goes to, gets into Shchita. Okay? Shchita. No. Shchita. Same thing, yeah. Shchita. Yeah, I'm amazed. Because basically it's like this. Essentially what we're doing is trying to do this year a Shlita Sagiz, you know? So this kind of, the question about Chulin and Kodshim and Kavana or not is somewhat of a different sugya, but it touches on our Shlita. That's how we got here. Shlita. Does Shlita need Kavana or Rabbi Nassan? All those questions, right? So I'm going to skip all the details about all the different cases about Tumah and Taira and whatever. I'm just going to jump to now, cut to the chase. It works out, Rabbi Yochanan, whatever, learns them out from other cases, from Limudim, whatever. But now it goes back to, oh, hold on, we got a problem. Because Rabbi Yochanan, again, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, is both Chulam and Kodshim need kavana. Okay, need kavana. Okay, so he holds that you always need that the ma'aseh adam, both by chulin and by kachim. But there's a problem. Rabbi Yochanan generally holds the halachic stam mishnah, that when Rabbi Yehuda Nasi writes a stam mishnah without saying the shita, you know, they're unqualified, no position, and just says something in the mishnah, so we hold like it. That's Rabbi Yochanan's position. So now our mishnah says, basically, the shechita, that if you drop, if the wind blows the knife down or something, the shechita is possible. The implication is, but if a person throws it down, even without kavana, it's good. So you see, you don't need kavana, and that's Rabbi Nasan. Right? So our mishnah is saying shechita is good, even though you don't have kavana. So shechita chulin doesn't need kavana. So that's a problem, because Rabbi Yochanan holds by nida that chulin does need kavana. So it's a stira. So let's see that inside.
Where,
so it's
on the base, where are
yeah, we? It's Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's the last word in the line. It's about halfway down the page. Okay. Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Umi Rabbi Yochanan Halachi Kistam Mishnah. Vitnan Nafla Sakin Mishachta. Afla Bishachta Gedarka Psula. Right? So it says if the knife falls and shafts, it's possible. Avinam Ba Taima Dinafla Hapi Luk Shera. If the person throws down his kosher, even though you don't have kavana, I mean, and man tanid lo beik hanu shchita, I'm a Rav Nasani. And it says, this is Rav Nasan who holds, you don't need kavana by shchita. So you see, our Mishnah, Stam Mishnah, by Yichon Chulin, holds that shchita doesn't need kavana, even though it's Chulin. Right? Yet, Rabbi Yochanan holds that by Chulin always needs kavana. So the Gemara answers, no. Avishchita afilu Rav Yonasan ben Yosef. I forget who that is. Oh, I think that's because Rabbi Yochanan holds like him. You know, some Yosef. That he's one of the Tana who Rabbi Yochanan goes like. So even he holds, everybody's going to hold by Shchita that you don't need Kavana. Even though the general default is that by Chulin you always need Kavana, just like Ajim, but not by Shchita. Why? Midigali Rachmana misasik bekajim pasal. Since the Torah, the fact that the Torah reveals that Shchita by Kajim, if you're misasik, misasik means you're like, you don't have any kavana, you're just busy doing something else. So the Torah says it's possible. There's a separate limud by kajin, because it says, l'irtzonchem tizbachuhu. Tizbachu, Rashi quotes this. Adaitachem tizbachu. L'irtzonchem, with your das, for your ratzon, you should do shchita. So it means you need das. L'irtzonchem, you need like das. So that's a separate limud by kajin. By shchita, you need das. So what do you need a limud for like that? Don't you always need das by kachem? Kachem always needs das, right? Chulin always needs das. What do you need to tell me that you need das by shchita's kachem? Mechlal the chulin lo boi kavana. The implication is that shchita is one of those things which really breaks the rule, and shchita really in general, like by chulin, doesn't need kavana, and therefore the Torah has to go out of its way to say, oh, but by kachem it does. So you see, the fact Torah has to go out of its way, it allows you to deduce that Shchita doesn't follow the normal pattern. Normally, Chul and Kachim, they both need Kavana. But here, the Torah tells you that by Kachim you need Kavana to show you that by Chul you don't need Kavana. So it's an exception. Right? Okay. So far, so good. So we're saying it's an exception. Which is fine. We don't have a problem with an exception. Some reason it's saying is shchita, even though it is creating a change in the chol hashem, but it's just that it has to be done through a certain method. You don't need kavana. You just need a person to shachta. Okay, for whatever reason, I don't know why. So the Gemara says, oh, that's a good point. The Rabbanan. So what about the Rabbanan? Because the Rabbanan held that you do need kavana for shchita. So how are they going to explain that? Are they going to explain that? Doesn't it say if you tell me that even my if you tell me you need kavanas, then why did the Torah go out of its way by kachim to tell you that you need shchita? So it says Rabbanan nehi de lo boi kavana lezvicha. Really, you're right. The Rabbanan have to agree that the Torah did go out of its way by kachim to tell you need shchita, you need kavana. So it must be saying that by chulin you don't. But he's saying, yeah, what don't you need? He says it's true you don't need kavana for zvicha. L'chaticha ba'inan, you still need kavana for chaticha. Look at Tosus explains what that means. The bottom Tosus. It says, Neidel abay kavana l'zvicha. Short Tosus. Pirish. Lehatira bezvicha zu. It's true you don't need kavana to be machshir the basar, right? To be matirat. But lechaticha mihabainan pirash lechaticha simanim. The phrase says you still need kavana to cut the simanim. So the saying is ordinarily by chulin, it's saying you need kavana to create this effect, right? To create the hatter, to create the tirat, whatever. In theory, by Shchita, you need Kavana to create Hechsher Basar. So you have to have in mind that you're doing. But the Torah goes out of its way to tell you that it doesn't fit the normal bell. By Kodshim, you need Kavana, the real deal Kavana. But by Chulin, no, you don't. You don't need the real Kavana. But the Rosh Hashanah say, you still need Kavana to do Chaticha Sassimana. Still need Kavana for that. Whereas Reb Nosson says, no, you see, that once the Torah is telling you you don't need kavana by chulin, so you don't need kavana. You don't need kavana. And that's a little further. He won't explain that. It says, Amar Rava, Behaza chinu Rav Nasan l'Rabbanan. In this, the Rav Nasan outdid the Rabbanan. Mikse v'chatachta. Did the Torah say v'chatachta and you should cut? V'chat zavachta ksev. It says zavachta, l'chontiz b'chu or whatever, in its v'cha. If you want to say they need kavana, then you should really need kavana for a zvicha, for the real deal to be matir. Then you shouldn't even need it for chaticha. He says, what kind of middle ground is there? If you need kavana, you should really need kavana for what shchita is, to create hechsher basar. And if you're going to tell me that no, by chulin there's a din, but it tells me you don't need kavana, so I say I don't need any kavana. And they should just be able to do no kavana whatsoever. They just throw the knife down on the floor. Without even kavana to cut the simanim. He says, what's the sense of this middle ground that it's kind of saying is you don't need kavana for hechsher basar, but you do need kavana for chaticha simanim. Right? But that still turns out as the machlokas. Saying is, assuming you agree that in general, kajim really needs, and kajim chulin really needs kavana. But here you have a limud which tells me that by kodshim you need kavana. The deduction is you don't need kavana by chulin. But how far is it mimayit? Is it saying that chulin needs nothing? Or that's really Nasan's position? Or is it saying no? It still needs kavana for chaticha. For kanismanim, just not for achshavasar. Okay, that's at least the way it tells us. I mean, Rashi doesn't explain, I don't think, exactly what these terms are. So I'm kind of going. Some of it's sifta. Someone wanted to argue that Rashi doesn't learn that way, but I don't know. I didn't see him. I didn't see where he was convinced of that. So what does Rashi say here? No, he almost says nothing. So. So the question is: can we get this machlokas? I know we already did it in Asana Chachamim, but. I mean, either we could try to remember what we said and see if it fits in with this, or we could just take it again, because it's kind of coming from a different angle now. It's coming from a limud based upon how you're memayed it from, at least it's within a Yochanan system, who's holding that in Kaj Chulin really, it generally doesn't, generally does need Kavan. And I guess if in general you hold Chulin doesn't need, Chulin never needs Kavan, so then that's one thing. And I guess maybe you learn them a little bit differently. I don't know. You have to think into how this fits into what we've already said. And find this machlokas. Okay, so let's try to take this up for tomorrow. After that, I'd like to do is the Gemara then asks, what's the case exactly of a woman going in the mikvah akhtar? How exactly does that work? So I'm just going to get into it. I'm going to bring up Ibn Chum again. So I'd like to take that up also. It's kind of interesting. And then, after that, we'll probably go to the next Mishnah. After that, it's a Paraduma, so yeah, it kind of touches on Rinas and Acham, but I think I'll just jump over that. So probably just skip to the Mishnah after that. So there should be another day or two on this, and then over Amis, I guess, Shehiyah. The next Mishnah is about Shehiyah. Slow Shehiyah.